Hey guys, it's Kayla Yule from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.
Nope.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am John R. Bray.
And I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And it's the holidays. And it's just chaos.
I'm going to guess that you haven't put up a tree since you're moving.
I know I could build a tree out of the boxes that are now filling my home. That's the thing that I don't have a lot of stuff to pack, but I also don't have time during the week. But one weekend is really not enough time. So I've kind of been packing on the weekends as I can. So half the house is in boxes and it just feels disheveled and scattered and it's driving me nuts. And there's no tree.
I know how you feel. I know.
And I'm kind of, I don't know if meticulous is the right word, but I like to keep things tidy. So when I look around, I have honestly shuffled and shifted this pile of boxes like four times to try and make it look better.
Dude, you iron your sheets. I can't imagine what this is like for you.
I know. It's terrible. Huh. I did iron my sheets 2 days ago. So I make time for that. Priorities are still there. Yeah, it's crazy.
Well,
I mean, there's no, like everyone always says, there's never a good time to do anything like this. Like there's never a good time to have a kid or move or, so I know that whether it was in February or December, it would still be crazy, but it just feels like not an ideal time to uproot your life.
No, I know.
Although more ideal than last time I had to move. So at least it's on my own terms this time.
No ideal time to separate or divorce, really, is there? You know?
That's also true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no tree for me. We did get an email from Heather C., and she actually had a great suggestion. She said, don't even mess with a tree. Just get some command hooks and put them on the wall in the new place, like in the shape of a tree, and put Christmas lights.
Oh, wow. Like that command hooks?
Yeah. Like, that's a brilliant idea.
What are command hooks?
They're like those, it's like a plastic hook. But they're kind of attached to your wall with that removable adhesive.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. And I kind of floated that by Lexton. Jim was like, hey, you know, the tree situation. I told him. He's like, oh, yeah, that'll be fine. So perfect. No tree.
Well, yeah. The whole Thanksgiving holiday, because I guess the whole thing, it happened early this year. So there was a whole week after Thanksgiving when it was still November. And yes, I am a Scrooge. Yes, I am. Totally.
Although less so. I mean, everyone knows you dressed up for Halloween.
I know. So. And I even just right before we started recording, I was happily shopping for Christmas gifts for my children online. Wow. Like happily. Like I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing. They're going to love this. What?
Wow. I don't think we covered this. Did you do like decorative gourds for Thanksgiving? Do you still have decorative gourds out?
No.
Okay. All right. So you didn't cross that threshold.
Well, I mean, we had like squash soup. We made squash soup a couple of times and we had like a couple of pumpkins around, but nothing like major in terms of Thanksgiving decor. No.
I like how you casually, like there were a couple pumpkins like just around. Every Thanksgiving I go back to that McSweeney's article. It's yes. Decorative gourd season, motherfuckers, and read it every year because it's awesome.
It is, because all of a sudden you show up at Trader Joe's or the grocery store and there are gourds everywhere. You're like, where are these gourds? These gourds are just like popped out of the ether.
Yeah. Like, where do they come from and who the fuck buys them all? Like, there's just heaps of them everywhere and somehow they sell.
And who decided that this deformed, like, mangy, like rotting squash represents some sort of like familial and community holiday, you know? I don't know.
You know, you throw like a few of those in the middle of your table and it's festive, and it is kind of weird.
It's festive, motherfuckers.
Right.
Yeah.
It would be like taking a stack of like stumps and putting them on your table for Christmas. Like, that's basically what it is.
Well, so we had that whole week, and the little Grinch inside of me was like, I would see people putting up lights, or people put up their Christmas tree the weekend of Thanksgiving, and I'm like, come on, it is November, we still have another more than a month until Christmas. Come on. And then we hit December 1st, and I was okay. Like, I'm okay when it's December for you to put up your fucking tree, but like, when I was just driving around that last week of November, and I'm like, why are people rushing to the end of time? Slow down.
Right. Right.
It's still November.
I mean, I've always, like, I grew up in a family that got it the Saturday after Thanksgiving, but this year it was so early that it did feel weird.
Well, Cowboy gets a real tree.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned
that. So getting it that early is not really like... I think I told you, like, the only time I ever did a real tree was like in the first house we ever owned, and it dried out super fast and like almost caught fire. And Utah's super dry, and getting a real tree requires a lot of maintenance to keep that tree up and running.
Oh yeah.
So we are waiting until, well, we have to travel for business this weekend. I have to go to a board meeting, so sometime next week we'll go get a tree. So that's actually like second week into December, which I'm fine with. I'm totally fine.
I could wait until, I'm not even going to have one this year. It's not a deal breaker. You just kind of settle into that routine of getting one. And then when you're not going to have one at the same time, it feels weird for no real reason other than the fact that it's different.
Yeah. I mean, and my kids won't be here. My kids are going to be in New York.
Right.
And I want them to have a tree before they leave and to see it when they get back. But I don't know, like, as much as I am enjoying the idea of getting them gifts and getting Cowboy's children gifts and getting Cowboy gifts, like, for some reason, I'm in a mood to, like, give things.
I mean, there's worse moods to be in, I suppose.
I suppose.
And it's the season, so you're actually, like, right on track. This is good.
Well, I think part of it too is, so my book is done, right?
Oh yeah.
I have the advanced reader's copies in hand.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is it amazing?
It is scary as hell. It's very, very, very scary. I don't know why scary is the word, but like, I gave one to Cowboy, and like, I'll be putting Marlo to bed, and then once I put her to bed, I'll walk into our bedroom and he's reading my book, and I want to go hide under the bed. Like, I can't stand the thought of him reading it for some reason.
Has he read any pieces of it or nothing until now?
Nothing. He's read no part of it. I didn't want him to do it until there was an actual book in hand.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So the only thing that I have left for the book is I have to like solicit blurbs and testimonials for it, which is a little bit of work. But so that project is mostly over. And then there were two or three major projects that I had to get done by the end of November. And I got them done and last week. And there's a gif of Brad Pitt in, I think it's a Coen Brothers movie, where he's like on a treadmill and like he's pumping his fists in the air. And he's like an idiot. Okay. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know the one. I don't know what it's from, but yeah.
Yeah, he's like pumping his fists in the air like an idiot. And that is exactly how I felt when I got it done. And all of a sudden, I was flooded with the idea of what I could now do with my life.
All of that time, suddenly.
And I immediately started washing towels.
Oh, there you go.
I'm kind of like you, sort of. Like, you like to iron your sheets.
Yes,
I do. Really, like, I spent the weekend, I cleaned the refrigerator and the freezer from head to toe, like a 4.5 hour cleaning, and the pantry I cleaned,
and it looks awesome now, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I clean the pantry. Like, that's what I do when I have time, is like I organize things, and it is thrilling to me.
That's why, though, that's why like 1 or 2 days is never really enough time.
No.
Because I think with the way our brains work, you need like those couple days to still essentially work your ass off on these things that you've been putting off. And then you need a couple days to not do those things.
You need a couple days to like relax.
Right. Exactly. But that must be a great feeling. I'm about 9 days away from that feeling, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very much looking forward to it. Well, more than that, probably a couple weeks. I'll go up until almost Christmas, but oh man, I'm ready. I'm ready to pump my fists in the air like an idiot.
You ready to iron some sheets like nobody's fucking business, man?
Hell yeah, I'm just going to iron and rewash. I have done little bits of Christmas shopping, like things that have just come to mind or whatever. But I think we talked about this last year even, where, I mean, it's different obviously with Marlo, but with Lexton, he doesn't, there's really nothing he needs, and there's really nothing he's like really wanting. So rather than just buying stuff, I'm trying to find stuff that's, I don't know, kind of a combo of thing and experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. I mean, I'm getting him some books, and he's really gotten into film photography, so I'm getting him some film. So things like that, but I don't really know. And that's what usually spoils the holidays for me, is I get in that, like, this is awesome, I want to give gifts, and then I can't think of what the fuck to get for anybody, and then I just hate Christmas.
Marlo put together a list full of, like, all these little things that you can get off Amazon for really cheap. More shit for her room, basically. Okay. Just a little tiny shit that she puts everywhere. It's fine. She loves that stuff. And then I asked Alita, like, what do you want? And so back in 2004, we bought a Nikon D70. Some people will remember that. Some people will, that will echo in their ears. That was one of the first DSLRs released, digital ones. Digital SLR, yes. That's what the D is for.
Okay.
We bought a Nikon D70, and then over the years upgraded and gave that D70 to my stepfather, who then upgraded to, he just uses his iPhone now, so he gave the D70 to Lita. Well, in the process of the last 14 years, that camera is broken. And the cost to fix it is prohibitive, and she said that all she wants for Christmas is a new camera, except that a new DSLR.
Yeah, they're expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. So, interestingly, I just sent a message. I sent an email to my John, to Jex, and asked him what he wanted to do for the girls. We've never done this before. We don't ever, like, collaborate or communicate about gift giving. And I just thought it was a smart idea for us to do that this year, given that we're being so cooperative with each other about the holiday itself, and we've been cooperative up until now. And I was like, hey, I'm thinking of doing this for Marlo and doing this for Lita. What are you thinking? And I sent off the mail, and I was like, holy shit. Wow, I've come a long way.
That's, yeah. I mean, that's a, not that like either of our situations are filled with tons of animosity, but that's forcing yourself to create a communication that you wouldn't necessarily need, mm-hmm. and to put your name on the same thing.
Yeah. Well, and I asked I was like, what do you think about this? And what if we do this, but we have to consider this? And, you know, there's a lot to consider, and I wanted his input. It's going to be long-winded, but I'm okay with that.
Well, you're both interested in photography, right? Yeah. So if you're emailing him about a camera,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna get some information back. I think that's an awesome gift. I think if
a camera,
if a kid's into photography in whatever form, I think it's awesome, because it's a thing, but it's an experience. It's a way to capture memories, and just I think it's great.
She is such a great photographer. She's ridiculous. she's amazing. Her eye is fucking amazing. And it comes like so easy to her. In fact, I went to a sponsored event. I may have talked about this. We went to a sponsored event back in August for Hyundai. And I did not know that Lita was taking video footage on her camera, on her phone.
Oh, just throughout was all the over, event, like clips here and there?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. And when it was over, she put together a movie. And it was amazing. It was amazing. And I showed it to the person at the agency that I was working with. And she's just like, man, I would love to use this, except the music that she used was from Perfume Genius.
Ah.
And I was like, well, I don't know. That song is just so perfect for what she captured. But when you see the video, you're like, how did this kid learn not only to use the software on her phone to like piece together these clips, but the way they were pieced together with the music? Like, she has an artistry about her that is innate. And I'm sure you're seeing that with Lexton, like with the photography, like watching it happen.
Oh, yeah.
Is really glorious.
Yeah. Well, it's just, it's interesting. I mean, he's got a really good eye, but it's just really interesting to see how he sees the world.
Yeah.
I mean, even he'll come home because it's film. So there's a lot of, you know, blank reels or overexposed, or because he's learning that stuff as he goes. But even when he comes home with a photo that's maybe not perfect, it's fascinating to see how he sees something, because I can look at that photo and know how I would have taken it. Not that my way is any better, but it's just really interesting to see how he sees things.
Yeah.
And I think film is just I mean, for him especially, he's very hands-on and, you know.
Does he do like a darkroom?
Yes. Yeah. His class, I mean, what got him into it was the black and white photo class, and they do like actual darkroom developing, which he thinks is amazing. I mean, that was what got me interested in photography in college, was the idea of just hand developing, and I loved it.
Huh. Because I've never done that, neither has Lita. It's all been digital.
Okay. It's really cool. I think it just, because you've got a finite number of photos and a roll of film, and essentially when you're first learning, at least, every roll is a gamble. And I think that's it's an interesting perspective.
It's interesting you bring that up. When we were in Italy, Cowboy's daughter, like, her phone didn't have a battery that worked, and she wanted, sorry, not her phone, her camera. Her camera didn't have a battery that worked. And they were pretty strict about the kids not having phones because they wanted the kids to be immersed in this whole Italian experience. And they didn't want the kids texting or doing anything online. So she couldn't have her phone to take photos, and the battery was missing on the camera that she brought. So she didn't have a camera to take photos while she was there. So we went searching and finally found like one of those Kodak 27 picture, like, you know, I'm talking about the disposable cameras.
Oh yeah. I haven't touched one of those in over a decade.
Right. So we finally found one in some souvenir shop. I think we got her one or two of them that had like 27 photos on it. And we had to like explain to her, like, once you take the shot, that's it. Like, you can't go back. You can't look at it. You can't see what you took. You can't erase it. You have to move forward to the next one. And then you only have 26 left. And she was like, what?
Yeah.
What is this? What?
Well, I think the not being able to see it is even worse than the finite. Mm-hmm. Because, mm-hmm, I mean, if you have a phone that runs out of storage, like, I think that's a concept that hasn't gone away. But that was something with Lexton that was really hard. I'm like, when you take the photo, you can see through the viewfinder.
Yeah.
And I said, depending on the camera you're using, that viewfinder might adjust based on your lens settings. And so once you hit that shutter and the film advances, that's it. You have no idea if it turned out.
Yeah.
And so you could spend all day shooting tons of film and all of it is garbage. And that's just how it goes.
All of it is garbage.
Exactly.
I mean, well, I spent done.
So much money on film in college. Oh my God.
Oh God. I can't imagine. Even on my phone, I take 3 or 4 photos of everything that I take a picture of. It's just a habit of mine.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that at least one of them turns out steady and focused. I can't imagine.
Yeah. It's I mean, I do the same thing. Like, I will take several. And but the frustrating thing about that, I think, is I do that, and in my head, I tell myself I took 6 photos, and I'm going to find the one that's really good and delete the other 5. I never do. I find the good one for whatever I want to use it for, but then I leave the others in there. So I just have thousands of photos, and most of them are duplicates. And if you do that long enough, then it's so overwhelming, you never actually go back.
Oh, no. I bought the, I think I subscribed to the Apple, I think I have a terabyte of iCloud space.
Okay.
For my photos. You don't want to know how many photos that I have. You don't want to know. Because I stopped, at one point I was doing with that. I was going back and deleting all the ones that didn't turn out well. And then I stopped.
Yeah.
You don't want to know how many photos I have.
That's one of the things I don't like, is that it you kind of take it for granted, because you can just take as many as you want. And I went to, I wish I could remember this photographer's name. I'll have to look it up. But he was a National Geographic photographer. And after a while, he got really, and even, I think even when he was shooting film, to get the right shot, they would just shoot, burst. You know, I mean, they would, if it was film, they would just shoot 24, boom, 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 back to back to make sure they could capture this animal or this event or whatever it was. And he didn't really like that mode. So he went through a year of taking one photo per day. Not like 30 of the same thing and then picking one, just one push of the button and that was it, to kind of recalibrate how he viewed photography and the importance of a shot.
Wow.
And that's intense. I mean, I also don't know if he has kids, because if you have kids, there's no way that's going to happen. But it was an interesting, it was a really interesting perspective.
Did you see, there was a video going around yesterday on Twitter of somebody standing over this woman and they're blowing up this bubble of smoke.
Oh, no.
And they drop it in front of her face and she like pushes her face through the smoke, the bubble of smoke, and the bubble of smoke explodes around her face. And right as she does that, the photographer takes one shot.
No.
And it shows, it's basically the still for a new series that's coming out. And then it's the still for the cover image of it. And it is the most gorgeous shot of this woman, like with this exploding smoke bubble around her head. And he just took one shot. Just one.
Like they didn't do 10 takes or something. They just took one.
Well, if you watch the video, the flash only goes off once.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, the smoke itself sounds fascinating. I should look that up. I have not seen that.
I'll have to find that and link to it. But photography, yeah, it plays. I mean, there's going to be a lot of photography related things for Christmas, I think. I'm going to like get some photos printed for the kids for sure.
Oh, nice.
I'm getting Marlo some socks with cocoa on them and a pillow with cocoa on them.
Oh my God. I just saw an advertisement for getting your dog's face on socks. It
yeah,
is awesome.
Everybody's getting that. I'm going to do it. I'm actually going to do it.
Oh man.
So
that'll be fun. Just make sure you let Lita know that she can take as many photos of the same thing as possible. Just delete them. Just delete them, or you'll turn into us. And that's horrifying. And you just have terabytes of photos that you're terrified to look through. It's all a waste.
Well, I go back to 2002 and 2003 and I look and I didn't take nearly enough photos of Chuck and where we were and what was going on. And I'm like, why didn't I take more photos? And then I get to 2009 and 2010. It's like, holy shit, Heather. How are you supposed to get through all this?
Make it up for lost time. It depends too on what you end up doing with them. And I think that's probably the reason that I've soured on digital, because I took so many and I never did anything. I mean, aside from social posting, but in terms of printing, I haven't really printed anything, which in part, like I've said before, I never really wanted to hang art anywhere I've lived. So that's another aspect of that. But if you have something to do with them, or you're going to put them in an album, then that's cool. Otherwise, I know I have just thousands upon thousands upon tens of thousands of photos. And I'm like, what the hell am I going to do?
Well, I think I told you, I get all of my Instagram photos printed. I haven't done it since early spring, but I'll go through at the end of the year and print all of my Instagram photos. And I have these things that I can hang them on, and you can, and because they're not like permanent frames, you can change them out here and there and remember the trip that I took to New York and remember the trip that we took to Disneyland and remember the trip that we took to California. And when I started doing that, like I realized that I started really curating. I've always curated my Instagram feed, but I really started to curate my Instagram feed. Like, what did I really want to print? And what did, and knowing that I print my Instagram feed, going, I'm going to put this on my Instagram feed because I want it to be printed, not just because I want to share it, but I want to print it out.
So posting it is almost your way of committing to order that print.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you have like a box of all the extra prints that aren't hanging?
Oh yeah. They're just, I have a box. I have many, 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 many square photos printed out.
That's probably a good idea, because that's, I mean, where I post most intentionally is there.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember you talking about that. And there's a lot of, I've actually heard of some services that automatically will like print at the end of the month and send to you.
Yeah.
Which I guess if you post a lot in a month, that makes sense. If you don't, then it's not really worth it, but I should look into that.
Yeah.
But Lexton has still, like, even despite the film photography, still does not have any interest in like Instagram at all. Nothing.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. He just genuinely does not care at all about social media. Which honestly is probably okay, but
yeah.
it's interesting. And he's, a couple of his friends don't either. It's like, maybe that's becoming a thing. I don't know.
Well, like, I know Lita's friends mostly communicate through Snapchat.
Okay.
And their groups are pretty small. Like, they're not really interested in the large audiences, at least in terms for their own stuff. And I made her promise that she would stop going through her feed and deleting everything.
Is that what she was doing on Instagram?
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, she got home, was it this year or last year? She got home from camp and deleted everything. She started over. And I was like, what did you do to me?
Why?
Like, that's what they, apparently, I wrote about it. And all these mothers and fathers came out of the woodwork to say, my kid does the same thing. Like, it's a thing that they do. And she's super self-critical of her work, which blows my mind because she's so talented. But like, she took these photos. She went to so we have to talk about this really quick.
Okay.
She went to a winter dance on...
Oh my God, that was Saturday, right?
On Saturday, yes. I wish I had time to write about this, and hopefully I will at some point, because it's very important that I do. She had to write about it for the paper. And she agreed to go with another kid. Well, quote, unquote, agreed to go with another kid who has to write about it as well. But they bought tickets together because buying tickets together is cheaper than buying just a single ticket.
So this was like a journalist date.
Sort of, yeah. Okay. They got there together and they went in together, but then they sort of went their separate ways and hung out with their own friends.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
I knew going into this that she needed a new dress, she needed new shoes, she needed new bras to wear with the dress, she needed to get her makeup done, she needed to get her hair done, she needed to get her eyebrows waxed. Like, there was a lot to get done, and I couldn't get it done until the day of. So we headed out Saturday morning and just hit the ground running. And I was in a great mood.
Well, that's a big event for her. I mean,
it's a big event.
Is this the first official high school dance?
I think I was in Vegas when she went to homecoming. I was not here.
Okay.
But this was sort of the one where she really dressed up and like it was sort of official. And, you know, I drove her and I dropped her off and I took a picture of her and the kid that she quote unquote agreed to go with. But as we were shopping, like I was the one looking for her dresses and I was like holding them up to her and I was encouraging her to look more and to look more. And I said, you know, look at me. I'm not having a panic attack. And I think for me, and I realize this, there are certain spaces like Abercrombie in the darkness that cause me a sense of claustrophobia. the people, the hordes of people caused me a little bit of panic. But I did really, 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 really well on Saturday. And I want to give myself credit for that, because when we checked out of TJ Maxx with all of our stuff, it was a almost 45-minute line.
Holy damn.
To check out. Yeah. Like, that line literally curved all the way to the back of the store.
Nope.
Hi there. This is Kendra Adachi, and I host the Lazy Genius podcast. And I need to make sure that you have heard about the new KFC chicken nuggets. You have never had nuggets like these before. 100% white meat and hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. KFC has been a family favorite for years, and now we can get all of the delicious KFC flavor we love in one amazing chicken nugget. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
Calling all small businesses. Acast wants to give your brand a boost with Pod PowerUp. If you own or work for a small business in the U.S., apply for Pod PowerUp for a chance to win a fully paid-for podcast advertising campaign on the Acast self-serve ad platform worth over $10,000. To be in for a chance of winning, simply go to go.acast.com/powerup and tell us about your business and what you'd be promoting with a podcast ad campaign. Easy. That's go.acast.com/powerup. Good luck.
Then we went from there to get her eyebrows waxed, and then we went and got lunch, and then I went to take her to get her hair blown out, and then we came home and I did her makeup, and then I had to drive her there, and so my entire day was leading up to dropping her off at this winter dance. And I stayed awake until I knew that she was home, and she just sort of texted me as she came in, and I'm like, well, did you have a good time? And she wrote back, yes, in capital letters with 3 exclamation points.
Oh, good.
Oh.
That's awesome.
Which is great, because everybody my age, when I talk to them about this, they're like, oh, God, I hated those dances. They were terrible. And she had a wonderful time because she hung out with her friends, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. I wonder, too, though, like, did everyone hate them at the time? Or looking back.
I did. Yes.
Yeah? I'm trying to decide. I mean, there were definitely some I hated at the time.
It was awkward.
Oh, God. They're super awkward. Oh, yeah.
So awkward.
Oh, yeah. And did you guys, I can't remember if we talked about this. Did you, or maybe they still do it. I don't know what they're called. Is it the Sadie Hawkins? We called it the twerp, which I don't even know where the
twerk came from.
But where the girl asked the guy, it's like, it was a
yeah, thing. The Sadie Hawkins. Okay. Yeah.
That was, yeah.
Yeah.
Such an awkward time to be.
I never did that.
You never did that?
No. No.
Wow.
Actually, I went stag to my senior prom. I went with 3 juniors to my senior prom. 3 girl juniors, friends that I barely knew, because I didn't have anybody to go with.
Wow. But you really wanted to go.
Yeah. It was my senior prom, and it's something in the South that you look forward to.
Yeah. I mean, prom is a big thing. Yeah. I get it. I'm pretty sure I missed my senior prom. I went twice, because I went once when I was like a freshman or a sophomore, and then I think I went as a junior, and then I'm just, by that point, I was done.
Done.
Yeah. Done with the awkward. Yeah. But it sounds like Lita had a lovely time, so maybe her high school dance experience will be much better.
She had a really lovely time, and so we got her eyebrows waxed, and she's wearing contact lenses, and I've done her makeup, and she's got her hair done. And the next morning, she finally woke up. She finally crawled out of bed. My teenager, it was like 11:30 in the morning, and I'm just like standing there like this eager little bunny, like, tell me. And she's like, I had a really great time. And this is what she said, which was just like, it just blew my mind. She's like, you know, I just felt really good about myself. Like, I felt really confident, and it felt good to feel that way. And
damn,
I mean, my God, I never said that when I was 14 years old.
Whew. Well, no, I mean, to verbalize it, but to actually be able to take a step back and say, that's why I had a good time. Like, to recognize that alone is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her.
Yeah. It was a good day. It was a good night. I'm really glad that I invested all that time and money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, high school dances are no joke.
No.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. And when is she, what is she writing? Like, what is the, what's the assignment?
Well, I told her that she needed to bring up the fact that it's sort of discriminatory to charge less for two tickets than one.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because you're, then you're punishing people who don't have anybody to go with or don't have a date,
right?
And like, why discourage a single person from going if they have to buy it in a pair?
Yeah.
But I told her that she should write about, you know, getting ready for it and what it was like. And she could also like compare it to my experience at a winter dance and how it was awkward for me and I didn't have anybody to hang out. I mean, I went with my boyfriend, the winter dance that I went to, but he was a horrible person.
All right, then. So that kind of kills it.
Yeah, and it was, I was really, really, really insecure. And yeah. So we've talked quite a bit. I told her, you know, take mental notes about everything that you see and smell and taste and touch. And, you know, that's how I write my posts and it's how I write my book is like I took mental notes constantly. And if you have to write a note down on your phone, do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And she had fun. It's not like she was so overwhelmed with the assignment, which is great because I know how focused she is. So I could see that easily happening, like just getting so stressed out about making sure she got all the details. And
yeah,
that's great. When is it due?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure at all. I'll talk to her about that today, but I'm picking up her permanent contact lenses today as well.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big, 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 big year for things.
What I have to ask, what was it that pushed her over that edge with the contacts? Because Lexton is also bound to glasses and he's not really enthusiastic about contacts, but I feel like he would like them if he gave them a chance.
I haven't ever spoken to her about it. She actually went to my mother. She was afraid that I was going to be stressed out about the whole, and she's right.
So she was justified in going to your mom.
She was just like, I know mom's busy and she's going to have to take me to get to the eye doctor and it's a whole process and it's going to cost. But like, I was like, if you want to do contact lenses, let's make it happen. She was just, I had never spoken to her about them, but she wanted to be free from the glasses on her face. She also wanted to be able to put on, if she wanted to put on mascara. She's blessed with the most gorgeous eyelashes a human being's ever had. They're super long and they're super thick. And she couldn't wear mascara with glasses because she would blink and her eyes would catch on her glasses.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she was, and she just thought that, and I think that for her, it was the responsibility of it. And it was like this step towards becoming more realized. And I was really, really scared about, you know, I can't have anything put near my eye whatsoever. I would never be able to put in a contact lens, I don't think.
Yeah, that's how his mom is. So I feel like, I think that's what prevents him. But
she is eager for responsibility. And she's eager for, I want to take responsibility for this and to be more, I want to be old. She wants to be older, not older, but like she wants to be taken seriously. She really wants to take over her life. I mean, she's already talking about getting a savings account and a job and a car. And she's already talked to me about my feelings about her moving out of state, potentially, to go to college.
Oh, wow.
And after.
So she's like really, oh man, it's all downhill, Lita. Just let someone else do it for you. Oh my God. I do remember that. I remember being excited about that. Oh, nostalgia.
About which part?
About wanting the responsibility, wanting to be taken more seriously as an individual rather than like an appendage of your parents.
Yeah.
Because it seems cool, and it is for a while. I mean, it is cool anyway, but it's like, I think even the most responsible of kids, like, oh, I'm going to get a job and a car, and I know that I have to pay for gas and insurance, but you don't know what that's like. Like, you can't, and you can't understand that, you know, when you get a flat tire that can't be patched and it's, you know, $150 for a tire, it's like, oh my God, that's not as fun as owning a car.
I think also, like, she's been hanging out with her friends a lot more. I think I told you I've spent a lot of weekends driving her back and forth between social events. And, you know, and I don't bother her about what did you do, who was there, what's going on. Like, I'm really trying to give her space and her freedom. And I think that she realizes that, and she realizes how amazing it is to go out and it's just her, and only she's responsible for what she's doing. And I really do feel like the moment that this kid can get out of like the space, she's going to hit the ground running. She's going to go live in the dorms, and then she's going to go get an apartment, and like, she's going to be gone. Like, that's Lita.
Which is cool, but terrifying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and I will say, you know, as hard as it has been, as you understand, as single parents will understand, as hard as it has been to do this alone for so long, the fact that she knows how to travel across the country and get on a plane and do all of that, and she's like down to the very tiniest minutia of doing that, I think that has helped transform her into this really, really independent, like, you know, I can do this by myself, Mom.
That's really interesting, because that is something like that for a kid it's a big deal. So for her to see, it's almost like, if I can do that, I can do these other 15 things. Because mm-hmm. I can fly across country, so why not?
I can go to camp for 6 weeks and not miss you,
right,
and be fine and have a great time.
Yeah.
So she can't wait to graduate and go stay in the dorms. Like, that's like the most exciting thing to her right now, the idea of that.
That's so, it honestly, I mean, I'm sure it's a personality difference, but I wonder too if it's just a maturity gender difference. Because yeah. Like, Lexton hasn't given it.
Yes.
Thought to that. Like, I don't think he's thought past 3 days from now. Just hasn't. That's just not how his brain works. Not to anything, I mean, at all, period.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool.
Well, I don't, you know, I have no idea how Marlo's going to react.
Right.
No idea.
Well, hopefully you have a finished basement, so 20 years from now when she's hanging out down there. Like, all set.
Right.
Who knows? I mean, I think too, like, some kids are they have a very clear direction from very young. Mm-hmm. And some, it takes a really long time. But I think there's others where they flounder, but they're kind of directionless. And then all of a sudden, it's like a switch just flips. And that's it.
Right.
I mean, I had a friend in high school who was really big into sports and not super academic and never really cared about academics. And like, sophomore year came around, and I don't know what happened, but everything changed for him. He stopped playing one of his sports. He started to get straight A's. He became really active. He's a pharmacist now. Like,
yeah,
it was bizarre and really good. I mean, he was still very much the same person, and we stayed in touch, but it was just it was wild.
Yeah. I know, like, one of my friends was married to a man who did not graduate high school and was arrested several times for possession of drugs and ended up getting his GED and then going on to get his bachelor's and then his master's, and now he is the executive of an architecture firm.
Yep. Yep.
You think back to his high school years and it's like, whoa, like, what happened? Like, what was the switch that flipped?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you just, I think too, like, maybe he just really thought the other way of living was going to pan out and finally just mm-hmm. had to admit one day, like, yeah, this isn't who I thought I would be. So I need to make that change, you know?
Yeah.
That is, yeah. I mean, you figure it out eventually, for the most part, hopefully. I don't know. Or maybe you don't. Some people definitely
well,
do.
Well, and you also wonder, I wonder quite a bit about nature versus nurture. I'm very, very much like my mother. I mean, my father was ambitious too, but my mother is, you know, my mother got divorced from my dad so that she could work. She wanted to work, and my dad did not want her to. And my mother just hit the ground running after the divorce. She literally started her career when she was 42. That's when she started working.
Wow.
And she's always been driven to work. And I look at Lita, and then like it's like Lita is like a kind of a smaller version of my mother that way. And not that John's ambitious and John's very talented, and but you know John did not excel, I don't think, in high school, and he's. So the way Lita is excelling in high school is blowing John's mind, blowing his mind. Like he has a daughter who's getting straight A's, right? And she's taking these honors classes. It's blowing his mind.
Right.
And because in high school, he was just like, eh, whatever. Like, I'll show up.
Right. And you're kind of the other end of the spectrum. Like, yeah, you can get an A, yeah. But don't freak out if you don't. It's okay.
And I don't know... Because I haven't really ever pushed her, and I keep having to reassure her, you know, listen, it's fine if you get a B. It's okay if you get an A minus, and like I'm not pushing you to get a 4.0, hon. That's not me. I do not want to put any of that pressure on you at all.
Right.
So I'm curious as to how Marlo will progress from here. I don't know. They're two very, 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 very different kids.
Yeah. No, I think the idea of nature versus nurture is fascinating.
Yeah.
And I think both play in, but I don't think either is like totally permanent, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. Nature's part of it, but I think you can buffer some of those things. Like if it's a, not an undesirable quality, but you know, a hurdle, then you can help them overcome that. It will never go away, but you can, you know, work through it.
Yeah.
Again, in theory, I mean, easier said than done.
Easier said than done. Yes. But my sister stayed home with all of her kids up until 2 or 3 years ago when her twins, which are the last two, went, I think they started high school. I think that's when she went to work. She started when she was like 41, 42, 43. And first of all, her kids are the most amazing kids in the world. There could be a total case made for a mother staying home to raise her children because all of her kids turned out like fucking amazing. My sister has the best kids. Really, like the kindest, sweetest, most polite, hardworking, all of them, all five of them turned out this way.
Wow.
And then so she started working at a cafeteria. I'm just going to brag about my sister for a second. She started she was like the head cook at a cafeteria for a school near her home. And now she has worked up to be basically managing 40 different chefs at different cafeterias across the district.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So same as your mom, basically.
Same as my mom. Yep. And she, what's so funny about it is she went into interview for this position and blew their minds. Like the main woman who interviewed her called her and said, we were going to interview other people, but you came in and we haven't been able to stop talking about you. Can you start tomorrow?
Oh my God. That's awesome.
Yeah. It makes me so happy for her to bloom like that. Not late in life, but like at this stage in life, you know?
Right. Well, when she was ready, like she probably could have bloomed mm-hmm. like that at 22, but she wanted to apply that to something else.
She wanted to raise her kids. Yeah.
So she did bloom in her own way.
Not that working mothers aren't.
Yeah.
Not that working mothers aren't raising their kids, but
no, God.
She was at home, like literally at home raising her kids every day in the work of that.
Right.
Which I could never do. I did it for 18 months and I was like, nope, not doing this.
Yeah.
My hat's off to all the women who can. I admire the fuck out of you.
I mean, I'm home a lot with Lexton being that he homeschooled and I can't imagine all the time, especially with multiple. I mean, my sister does it too, 4 kids under 10. And I, oh man.
By the way, so I told you my cleaning lady is the last thing that will ever go if I have to, in budget wise.
Right.
I've been with her for over 10 years and she had to reschedule. I try not to have her come when we record, but today was the only day that she could come. I came upstairs and I held up my little SD card and I said, I need to go into my closet and record on that microphone again. And she's like, oh, okay, let me go mop upstairs really quick. And then she came back downstairs and I started to walk up and she goes, what do you do?
She's been with you for 10 years?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I guess like holding up a card and saying you have to go record in a closet does kind of raise some questions. And let's be honest.
She looked at me and she goes, what do you do?
Oh, man.
And I said, oh, yeah, I'm a writer. And she's like, oh, okay. I said, I have a book coming out next year. I said, I know that doesn't make sense with me recording, but it all makes sense eventually.
She's like, yeah, sure, writing. Go have fun in your closet. Oh, man, that's awesome. Speaking of, I don't know where I'm going to record. I don't have a place to record.
I know, like that has been a thing. Shifting from house to house with the recording equipment.
Yeah. I will be getting a dishwasher, but I don't know where I'm going to record. Well, shit.
You should not record close to the dishwasher.
Well, yeah, it'll be a closet or some, I don't know. God, I guess that's the least of my worries.
Right.
Although a friend of mine texted me, I don't know if it was a headline or like a snippet from an article, but she texted me something that says, it's definitely from an article. Dishwashing might be messing with your sex life. Don't worry, though. Here are some foreplay tips for a healthier sex life that can balance it all out.
Excuse me?
So maybe getting a dishwasher is going to just turn shit around for me. That's all I can take from that.
Is it because your hands get wrinkly from washing dishes?
I don't know what the logic, it was just a screenshot, but I don't know if that's the logic or if it's you're spending so much time on it. There's really no way that could go that makes any sense.
Huh.
Yeah. But I'm going to have to ask for the link and read it because now I have to know.
I wrote about this so I can say it, but John would grope me when I would lean down to like load the dishwasher.
Okay.
And it made me angry. It made me very angry. It was just like, please don't do that to me while I'm doing this. Like I'm doing a chore that helps the whole family and you're grabbing my boob. Please stop.
So dishwashing was messing with your sex life, Heather.
I don't find it funny. I don't find it sexy. I don't find it romantic. Take your hands and put them elsewhere. When I'm done with this, we might consider it, but not while I'm bending over putting a dish into the dishwasher.
You may consider it. Oh, God. When I'm finished, you can consider that option. Oh, man. Yeah, now I have to read it. Shit.
Now you have to read it so I understand why. Like, I've had dishwashers now. God, I don't know. I didn't have a dishwasher in LA. I think that was the last time I didn't have one.
I mean, I've had one, I don't know, just not since I've been here. That's going to save so much time.
You've
Holy
got
shit.
To forward this to me.
I know.
Only because maybe it would explain some past relationships.
Oh, yeah, that could be it. I don't know. Now I have to really mull that over. We should just map out relationships based on dishwasher status and see what it says. Although I'm skeptical that this is really going to get into detail or if it's just going to jump right into those non-dishwashing foreplay tips, which, I mean, I'll take those anyway, but really fascinated by the dishwashing.
Yeah, and also I think we should probably mention that we're approaching a million downloads, right?
We are, indeed.
We were like, let's just get into it. Let's just get into the nitty-gritty. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about porn.
That's right. All the things that we've maybe touched on, but not really gotten too deep into.
Yeah. And so as we wind down this episode, of course, we want to hear about your kids going to the winter dance and nature versus nurture and Christmas shopping and Christmas decorations. But we'd also, if there's something that we haven't talked about or we've avoided or we've danced around lightly that you would like us to talk about, let us know.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, whether it's like a just a universal issue or a question for one of us, I mean, that doesn't mean we're necessarily going to cover everything, but let us know for sure.
Yeah.
Which means
I can talk about my porn collection for sure.
I just
Tumblr. Did you see that?
I was just going to say, I read that and you are the first person that came to mind. It said like Tumblr is now, it's banning porn as of the 17th or 18th. And it, like your name immediately popped into my head.
Well, that I had some bookmarks on Tumblr that completely went dark like a year or two ago. And I was like, oh man, I hate it when that happens. Hate it. Let's go find new porn.
They must have moved somewhere. They must have known it was coming. Yeah, so we'll get into to all of that. So definitely email us at stories@manicramblings.com, or you can find us on social and share your suggestions over there, which would be Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Manic Ramblings. And of course, Patreon to keep the ramblings alive. You can find us at patreon.com/manicramblings.
Yes.
So many places.
So many places. And until next time, an early happy holidays and nature versus nurture. Although I'm going to say nurture, I'm going to take full credit for my kid right now. Just at least for the next like week, I'm just going to revel in the fact that my kid is so amazing. So
it's well deserved.
Yeah, it is. Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one but amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.